I apologize for being 10 minutes late. I had a 9 o'clock meeting that was a couple blocks off the hill. And when I walked in the room here, I said to my staff, I'm only 10 minutes late. I smiled and they frowned. This week, I introduced legislation to strengthen the health care delivery system in rural America, a very comprehensive bill. Probably just highlight a couple points in it, but there's a lot more I could highlight. Improved payment formulas for rural doctors, rural ambulance services, mid-sized rural hospitals. There's about 9 hospitals in Iowa: Spencer, Spirit Lake, Fort Madison, Muscatine, Carroll, Grinnell, Newton, Keokuk, that we call tweeners hospitals, between the little ones, critical access, and the big ones like Des Moines. And the formulas don't work very well for these hospitals, so we try to take care of the tweener hospital problem. Second and last, it would also protect access for rural residents to home medical equipment and supplies, continue to lend support to smaller critical access hospitals, and lastly, enhance the authority of physician assistants who provide valuable services, but they can't do it in extended care and hospice services, so we extend it to there. These policies go directly to the special challenges facing rural health care systems. And I think I want to point out that maybe health care reform is several months down the legislative road. But when we talk about preserving rural health care, and you get into the massive health care reform that we're going to be talking about, and that goes beyond just the 47 million people that don't have health insurance. If you have PAYGO, you're going to have to find some place to get money, and I'm going to fight hard to make sure we don't get it from from rural health care, of which hospitals are a part of it. I'm ready now to call names, so I'm going to go to Tom Beaumont.
My grandma still calls me that, Senator, so...
Well, good.
How do you expect to vote on Eric Holder's confirmation today?
Well, I'm inclined to vote yes, but let me say I got a 2-page memo from Rito I haven't finished reading yet. So don't put me down as a yes yet, but that's kind of my thinking without reading her memo. Do you accept that?
Yes. What leads you to, at least at this point, lean towards supporting him?
Highly qualified. Now, understand, you know, through my questioning on the terrorist pardon and on the Mark Rich pardon, it gives me a great deal of caution. And that could kind of tip the scales. But I've also... heard, and this isn't for public, but I also heard that Hatch and Spector might vote for him, and they have the same, in fact, Spector probably has worked on these pardons harder than I have. And if he's willing to forgive on that and accept the explanations, then that would kind of lead me as well, not being a lawyer, and those two being good lawyers, you know.
Mm-hmm. I've got a question on the president's meeting with the Senate caucus yesterday. Did that appearance influence your position on the stimulus at all? And if it didn't, what do you think the value of that meeting was?
Well, the value of the meeting is that in politics, whenever people are talking to each other, it's a better environment than when people aren't talking to each other. And I think that we ought to keep this dialogue up even when we disagree. So then yesterday, you know, last night at 9 o'clock, I voted against the Finance Committee portions of it. There's so many good tax provisions in there. I could vote yes just on the tax provisions. But if you listen to what I said yesterday, we have CBO... analyzing what money might be spent on Medicaid for the unemployed, and we want to help those people. It's 10 plus billion out of 86 billion. So why are we putting the other 76 billion in there? Now, some people are saying, well, states are in trouble. Well, if states are in trouble and they need more money, let's look at some reason for giving them additional money except for letting them use Medicaid as a slush fund. See, as an example. So I voted no. And the other thing was, no, I think I'll stop there.
Thank you.
Mike Myers.
Well, Senator, how were you treated in the Finance Committee yesterday, the AMT and these other tax provisions? Is it either-or situation here, but is overall, how do you judge them?
Well, I was treated very well, but let me say that very well is a lot less than the environment in which Baucus and I have worked together over the last 8 years. And I use SCHIP plus this as an example. In the case of SCHIP, I don't blame Baucus. In the case of stimulus, I don't blame Baucus. But it's still not a very good environment compared to the good environment we had before, where almost every mark that was laid on the table was a bipartisan mark. So let me make it very clear that that it was pushed, a partisan approach was pushed on Baucus by, I don't know whether by the president-elect at that time or whether it was by the leadership of the Democratic Party in the Senate. But we were going to sit down and negotiate until they were kind of, the other side was kind of dictated to. In the case of the stimulus, even though I don't like how it was handled, I don't blame Baucus because he was under fire to get something done very quickly because the president wants something on his desk by February the 15th. And so, I have to have some, suppose we had a Republican president, I was chairman of the committee, and we had that sort of a directive, maybe we wouldn't have had bipartisanship even if we had a Republican majority. But and in the case of the stimulus bill, if we were going to have a bipartisan package, it probably would have taken a week of hard work behind the scenes to get it worked out. And so the relationship between me and Baucus has not changed at all, but kind of the political environment we're in has reduced the bipartisanship. But then I always hastily follow that up with, so far, and you can only do this from time to time. I mean, you got to get updates on this, but so far they seem to be very sincere about working in a bipartisan matter on all of the health care reform that we're doing.
Okay, thank you.
Joe Martin.
Yes, Senator. I was hoping to ask you about the restrictions included in the House version of the SCHIP on physician-owned or specialty hospitals, right? My understanding is that it's not in the Senate version. What do you think of what the House put in there, and do you anticipate that it'll be offered as an amendment in the Senate, or is this going to be an issue for the conference? Or?
I think it's an issue for conference, and I'm satisfied with what the House did. If the House had gone a little more restrictive, it would have been okay with me. But in the House, they decided to take the compromise that Baucus and I worked out last summer, that should have been in the Medicare bill last summer, but we didn't have time to fight to get it in because we had to do things by consensus. So it's what Baucus and I have written, so I'm going to be satisfied with it.
And what about hospital? There's a hospital outside of Omaha that it's about 20% physician-owned, and they're saying that, and it's not quite completed on construction yet, they're saying this would, you know, kind of derail what they're doing. What about sort of hybrid facilities? Should there be any sort of exception for them? Or
the way it's written right now is the way it's going to be done, and the way I think it ought to be done. I can't come. I don't know to comment on a hybrid, but I can compromise on the other that they're going to be able to finish it. And, of course, you got to remember, why are we doing this? We're doing it because of physician ownership being a very major concern and because of the interest that doctors have that can lead to cherry picking. And then let me extend the major reason is, probably comes more from rural areas than it does from urban areas, but we have a hard time maintaining a hospital system in rural America without having cherry picking that goes on that multiplies the problems because the federal government doesn't pay 100% of the cost of medical care under Medicare. See, so that's why we have to do it. Okay, Jim Boyd. Tim Rohr.
Yes, Senator. I understand that the committee rejected an effort by you to secure jobs in wind energy production and generate more clean-burning renewable energy. I mean, did they reject it totally, or is there going to be anything
there? Well, first of all, that part of the bill that Mike Myers, take note of this, that part of the bill that deals with energy that's in the bill that I voted against yesterday, that by itself could have been a bipartisan mark. Most of the tax provisions could have been a bipartisan mark. And those things were worked out between Republicans and Democrats a long time, maybe even before Christmas, before this thing got to be highly partisan in the sense that the Democrats wanted to push quickly to get it done, and it was done in a partisan way. So what I was trying to do yesterday, Tim, mm-hmm. was build on what Baucus had put in his mark to make a longer period of time for the tax incentive, because pretty much like we did for solar last summer, eight years out, we only had 1 year out in that same bill for wind. And the reason we didn't go 8 years out for wind is because everything was offset. And when you offset wind for more than a year, it's very, very expensive. And so I was trying this. We didn't need offsets in this bill. So I was trying to get it extended out longer. And then we have a financing problem because credits dried up in this country. And through the tax code, we were trying to loosen up some money through what we call a net operating loss carryback. And I extended that back for 10 years, whereas Baucus only had it in his bill for 5 years. So it was not, I just wanted to do better. And Democrats, I think, had a pact among themselves that they're going to vote down all Republican amendments. And so we were trying to do what we could to improve the bill. Some places where we disagreed with the Democrats to change it dramatically. But most of our efforts, at least most of my efforts, were just to do a little better job. Because we wanted to move investment, and there's a lot of jobs at stake here, and this was a jobs bill. And so you got 90 people laid off at the wind energy component manufacturing plant in Cedar Rapids. Very obviously, you know, the sooner we get it cranked up, the sooner we get those jobs, and we have less risk of eliminating existing jobs. Jane Norman.
Senator, on the Medicaid provision in the stimulus bill, is it specifically the extension to the unemployed that bothers you without any kind of income cap, or what is it? What all is it in the Medicaid? You mentioned it becoming a slush fund for states, but beyond that.
I offered an amendment. Well, now I think there's the insurance for the uninsured. I've got no problem with extending unemployment insurance. I've got paying COBRA is something new, but I don't think we're raising so much objection to that, except maybe the percentage is a little bit high. But I did try to get an amendment in so that very high-income people couldn't take advantage of a 65% subsidy on COBRA, and my amendment lost. Well, no, it didn't lose. That was one of those amendments that I didn't push it to a vote because the chairman promised me He just wanted to look at it and make sure it was workable and get put in the manager's amendment on the floor. Then the Medicaid stuff, if you just want to look at the Medicaid, $86 billion, is that your question?
Yeah.
Okay, then I probably shoved a bunch of stuff at you weren't interested in. Okay, we got scored by CBO. A Hudson Institute approach to Medicaid's needs for the unemployed. And based upon the formulas they used, which seems to be 1 million people being added for certain increase and downturn in the economy, it came out to about 10 8/10 billion dollars in this bill. Well, we got $86 billion in it. So why are we giving more money for Medicaid than what CBO says is going to be necessary? Well, the answer is give it out in the Medicaid formulas so then the states spend less state money on Medicaid and then they free up money for a bunch of other stuff. So it becomes a slice fund for states. Now, let's say you want to accept the argument that states need more money at this time. And there would be some argument for that because we don't want states raising taxes at a time in recession because the federal government's not going to, and that hurts the recession. Well, then let's find some way to get the money distributed to the states instead of doing the subterfuge of Medicaid. That's my argument.
And if I could ask you more generally, how are you gauging Iowans' reaction to your position on the stimulus bill, and what kind of calls, letters are you getting in your offices on this? Are you getting a lot of interest, not much?
Within the last hour, I had it wasn't quantified for me, but I had a short discussion with my chief of staff, and he says they're coming in opposed to it. But I can't. Why don't we have maybe later on today, Jill can get back to you.
Okay.
Jill just wrote me a note that she doesn't know for sure, but she can talk to the chief of staff. But that's what he was telling me this morning.
Yeah, I'm just interested in the volume of reaction too.
Well, here's something you got to consider when you're considering who's opposed to the stimulus. I don't know whether it's for the person that doesn't watch news very much is going to separate the word stimulus from the word bailout going back in October. And there's a great deal of cynicism that I pick up in Iowa about the bailout doing any good because nobody sees it doing any good. And you don't, Jane, and I'll bet everybody on this telephone call doesn't see it doing any good, and I don't see it doing any good. Now, I hope it's doing some good that we don't know about yet and that there's a lag time for it to show up. But the people back home don't think in those terms. And so we're talking about spending another $1 trillion. Well, what about the $700 billion you spent? You got your head stuck in the sand? What sort of a planet did you come from, you know, when you try to explain it to people? So they're calling in because they're just $1 trillion is a lot of money. And they read about $1 and 2/10 trillion deficits. They're reading about percentages of GDP that are higher than any time since World War II. And so that may be the reason we're getting a lot of negative calls, if we're getting a lot of negative calls. But presumably, negative calls coming in. I just can't quantify it for you.
Thanks.
Before I go on to Christina, I was just thinking in terms of the question I answered for Tom Beaumont about Eric Holder, and I said leaning yes, but don't put me down there until I study it a little bit more. I hope all of you will honor that thing that I asked Tom Beaumont not to quote me on it yet. He can quote me on it, but I mean there's a possibility I could vote no. Burlington Hawkeye.
Hi, I was just wondering if you got a chance to look at the infrastructure or job creation side of the bill yet and what your thoughts are on that.
Okay, well, you got to break it down into several different parts of it. Let's say $12 billion information technology. I brought this up in the committee meeting yesterday. Information technology, medical records on computer. Computerizing medical records. That's what I should always say, because that's really what we're talking about. It's a two-year bill. We're appropriating $12 billion. 97% of it's going to be spent beyond the year 2012. So the 3% that's going to be spent in the next 2 years is not stimulus. The whole $12 billion is not stimulus, because the stimulus is supposed to be done temporary and targeted, et cetera, the three T's that I talked about. And so you gotta take that $12 billion as just being something that's being stuck in the bill, something that maybe needs to be done, but it's surely not stimulus. You go to building highways. Iowa's building less highways now because we're driving less. Gas tax is down. We stick money into the Iowa for highways. It's going to create jobs that wouldn't otherwise be there for the next couple years. In the case of Iowa getting, well, nationally it's tens of millions of dollars for Head Start, 55,000 more kids going into the Head Start program. Well, that's going to be stimulus for the 2 years that they hire more teachers to teach more Head Start kids. But does anybody think that at the end of 2 years you're going to fire those teachers? Well, that's a subterfuge for spending, using the stimulus to spend more money on Head Start, because Congress isn't going to eliminate those jobs and take that money out. So you're building something in that ought to be considered in the appropriation process, which is an annual process, and with hearings and all that stuff, rather than not thinking about it and sticking it in a stimulus package. And that's got nothing to do with my support for Head Start, because I've been a supporter of Head Start and know that if you spend more money in that area, it's good. But it's not stimulative.
Thank you.
Okay, I've gone through the entire list. Anybody got follow-up? Okay.
Senator?
Yeah, go ahead. Did I skip somebody?
No, it's Mike Myers.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just looking forward to Sunday. What are you doing? Do you watch football, or are you just going to be out at your farm or something?
Depends on probably about, let's see, I'll be coming back Monday morning, I think.
On what morning, sir?
I think I come back Monday morning that week. Let me see what my schedule is. Well, if your question is, do I pay much attention to the Super Bowl? No. I might pay a little bit more attention to it this time because of Mark Warner, being a graduate of my alma mater, UNI. Not Mark Warner. Kurt Warner, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Mark Warner's a senator. So I might be, I like him. I might be watching it. He's kind of an angel for the Arizona, because they didn't have much of a team the last several years. He comes back and brings them back. So, I might watch it for that. But, I like college football, but professional football and basketball, when it's all muscle and height, and I don't give much attention to it. Everybody, goodbye.